Ovo je test razumijevanja oslušanog teksta iz stranog jezika. Sastoji se od dva zadatka. Svaki snimak slušat ćete dva puta. Imaćete dovoljno vremena da pročitate pitanja prije nego što čujete tekst i da provjerite svoje odgovore. Dok slušate, možete upisivati svoje odgovore u test knjižicu. Poslije slušanja imaćete dva minuta da provjerite svoje odgovore. Prvi zadatak. Imate dva minuta da pročitate pitanja.
Now, tell me, I assume you went home every Christmas. What was it like celebrating Christmas on a Spokane Indian reservation?
We're a highly Christianized culture, Native Americans, you know, on purpose, by force, by accident. So our Christmas celebration is very much the same as everybody else's.
So we're talking about the same sort of things that you would have outside the reservation. Turkey, Christmas carols, Christmas tree, the whole shebang.
Yep, all the good stuff and then all the bad stuff too.
Bad stuff and Christmas? What are you talking about?
Alcoholic fathers and family brawls and you know, hoping somebody gets out on parole on time.
Is there a particular Christmas story from the reservation that kind of springs to mind, either good or bad?
Well, the bad one is we were doing a Christmas concert at the school, and I was in fourth grade, and we had money that year, so my parents actually bought me this, you know, wonderfully itchy and scratchy and stylish polyester suit, gorgeous tan suit, Saturday Night Fever, you know, the bell bottoms, and I had the boots on, and I was on the top row of the choir, and my friend in front of me, Paul Tooley, sort of leaned back and bumped into me, and I fell off the riser into the backdrop and brought the whole backdrop down on me. And my mother came running up, and, you know, she's a small woman, but she got that strength and lifted up the backdrop, pulled me out of there, and carried me weeping home.
How old were you?
10.
10. That's pretty traumatic.
Yeah. And the good Christmas was I never had a stereo. And in your childhood, when you don't have a way to listen to music, that can be very traumatic. You know, I don't even think the generation today realizes how limited the access to pop culture used to be, or how poor people didn't even get to participate in it much. And the Christmas that they got me a stereo, a radio with a record player and a cassette player in it, that was probably the finest Christmas gift I ever got. And those glorious 3 a.m.s, you know, I've always been insomniac, but the 3 a.m. when you could troll your way through the a.m. dial and pick up some strange radio station from San Francisco, and one time I even got Kansas City. That was glorious. AM radio at 3 in the morning. That was the best Christmas gift I ever got.
Imate 15 sekundi da provjerite svoje odgovore. Ovo je kraj prvog zadatka. Drugi zadatak. Imate 2 minuta da pročitate pitanja.
He is James Ellroy. He is the greatest crime writer in the history of literature. That's what he says anyway, and there are plenty of critics and readers who agree. He writes big books with short sentences and noirish titles. The Black Dahlia, L.A. Confidential, The Cool 6000. These are fictions that owe something to the dark world of Dashiell Hammett and James M. Cain, and something to the paranoiac world of the conspiracy theorist. His streets aren't just mean, they're slicked in the effluvia of human corruption, and millions of readers love walking through the mire with him. His latest novel, Blood's a Rover, completes his Underworld trilogy, and its cast includes a gay ex-cop who infiltrates a militant black power gang on behalf of J. Edgar Hoover, a doctor who sells racist hate literature to markets of black and white consumers, and Joan Klein, the Red Goddess, a left-wing radical and FBI informer. I asked James Ellroy to read from his narrator's Before the Curtain address, and he did, in my face.
America! I window-peeped 4 years of our history. It was one long mobile stakeout and kick-the-door-in shakedown. I had a license to steal and a ticket to ride. I followed people. I bugged and tapped and caught big events in ellipsis. I remained unknown. My surveillance links the then to the now in a never-before-revealed manner. I was there. I am a literary executor and an agent provocateur. I did what I did and saw what I saw and learned my way through to the rest of the story.
One of the pleasures of reading your fiction is that you look back upon the recent American past, a past that many assume, probably very wrongly, to be more innocent than the present.
Right.
But would it be possible to treat the present, to treat the much more publicly accountable world in the way that you do in this book and in others?
I probably could, but I deliberately ignore popular culture. I don't have a cell phone. I don't have a computer. I don't go to movies, read, or watch television. I deliberately ignore
the world in order to immerse myself more completely in the periods of history that I write about.
But does that mean that you can't judge whether the present is more corrupt than the past?
I don't care, and I don't think about it.
Why not?
It clutters my mind. It induces anxiety. I don't need it. I have enough crazy stuff going on in my head right now to last me the next 61 years of my life, and I have a lot of work to do.
But has something changed in American life? Is there a moment, where does your interest in the past cut off? Where does the past become the present for you?
Blood's a Rover concludes in May 1972. I will never write fiction beyond that point. Blood's a Rover is the chronological culmination and conclusion of my work as a historical novelist. I will never go beyond 1972.
And why is that?
This is it. I know history when I see it. I know it when I feel it. It takes a long, long time for history to extend its spell over me.
Imate 15 sekundi da provjerite svoje odgovore. Ovo je kraj drugog zadatka. Sada imate 2 minuta da pregledate svoje odgovore. Ovo je kraj testa razumijevanja odslušanog teksta.